This morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2, so if you want to turn there. And again, this is, when it gets to the Christmas season or Easter season, it's one of those things, we go over familiar passages, and it's amazing how God can use the same passage over and over and over, and then show us something so different. And I am so grateful that He is a faithful, faithful God. And so we are going to be talking about that familiar passage of those wise men and their trip and how God has used it. But I don't want us to miss, at the same time, as we celebrate the season, as we celebrate Christ's birth and how people came together back then, I want us to not miss that this is a passage in the Bible that God has to teach us today. Yes, we want to use it to celebrate. We want to use it to think back and to remember the things that God done when He sent His Son to be born of a baby that day, and the things that happened within the next couple years that we're going to read about today. But I also want us to think about how this applies to us today. And so that's what we're going to do. So if you'd read along with me, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people forever.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just thank you so much that you loved us enough to send your Son. Lord, we thank you and we celebrate the love. We celebrate that timing. We celebrate everything about that. But Lord, right now we want to come to you and just to see what it is you have for us today. Lord, as we think back on this, we also think of today and we think of the future. And we just ask, Lord, what would you have us to do? So Lord, we lift your word up today. Pray that your Spirit would move. Pray that it would fill this place. That you would be glorified. That you would be honored. And that, Lord, our hearts and lives would praise you. I thank you for this opportunity. In your name we pray. Amen. As I said, there's a lot to learn from this passage. And as I was going over this week, it was one of those things where you look for something that God is showing you new. Showing you that you haven't seen before. And you say, God, when you speak to me through your word, I want to know it. I don't want to miss it. Because there's a lot of times I think I miss it. I'll start reading and I'll start studying and I'll just be going through, and you may do the same thing. And when you're done, it's like, I know what I read, but I've heard that forever. And there's times when I will go into it with the right attitude. In other words, that means there's times when I go into it with the wrong attitude. We all do. But I'll go into it saying, God, show me today what you have for me from your word. And so we know that it's all about Jesus Christ and it's all about his birth. We know that's the reason. But today, as we look at this, I want us to look at what circles around that Messiah, that child. And so as we do that, first, let's look at King Herod. This is Herod the Great. He is actually a descendant, they think, of Esau, and so therefore probably not very popular with most Jews. And through that, even because of that, or even in spite of that, he probably had some type of a conversion that was more politically motivated than spiritually motivated, so that he could have the support and so that he could have the backing that he was wanting. But when it comes to the Messiah being born, the Christ child being born, he had no knowledge of where this was going to take place. From this passage, we have no reference to say that he even knew it was going to happen. But he knew nothing. But it tells us that he tells these wise men, you go and find him and then come back so I can go worship him. Even though he knew nothing about him, he pretended to know. He pretended to care. He wanted everybody else to see, I want to go worship this baby. I want to go worship this child. So you come and you tell me. But the bottom line we know was that he really, as a king, and this baby is born king of the Jews, he's afraid he's going to lose his power. He's afraid he's going to lose his throne. So the whole idea is, I will go and I will take care of this child, and there's no way this child is going to be king because I'm the king. He didn't want to give up his power, and so he had no desire whatsoever to worship Jesus. He didn't even know who he was. Now let's look at the next group. And this is the chief priests and the scribes. We know that they were studied in the Scriptures. They knew the Messiah was coming. They knew even what town he was going to be born in. Now, this passage takes place probably just under 2 years after the birth. And they knew the town, and they knew the place where Jesus was going to be born, where the Messiah, the Christ child, was going to be born. And it had happened almost 2 years before, and to this point, he had not affected their lives at all. He was just something in the history books. He was just something passed down in their religion that they had heard about all their lives. The Messiah is going to come. We know he's going to come out of this tribe. We know he's going to be born in Bethlehem. We know all of these things. And then when these people come to town and say, he's been born, they're not willing to travel a very short distance to go and see. And he's the center of their religion. He is the turning point. He is what it all points to. And it meant nothing to them that they were not even willing to travel, some say as little as 5 miles, to go see the Messiah, the center, the Savior of their religion. And then we have this group of wise men. And if you check all the nativity scenes, there's three. But that's nowhere in the Bible. I read one that said there could be up to 300. They don't know how many there are. They just know there were wise men from the east that traveled. They figured they were probably either scholars, astrologers probably, that studied the stars and saw that this supernatural star was there, and they began to study. And in the land where they were at, there maybe they were people that were left over from captivity, and they, because of the Scriptures, that when the children went into captivity, they took their Scriptures with them. And so maybe these wise men were able to study Scriptures. And because of studying the Scriptures, they understood that this star is going to show up, and that's going to be where the Messiah child is going to be born. And so they begin to leave their home and travel over thousands of miles to come and find this child. And they ask, where is He? Not, did the Messiah child, was He born? No, where is He? This one that has been born. They knew. They hadn't seen Him. But they had read enough in the Scriptures. They had seen enough signs that they knew already He had been born. They left everything and they traveled. And when they got there, they asked all around and eventually went to the king. And they want to know. And so the king asked the people that should know. And they tell them. And when they find out, man, they get up and they go. And they go to find Him. And because they had traveled all this far, I'm not going to stop short. I'm going to go and I want to see Him for myself. I want to worship Him. And so they travel until that star stops above where the child was at. And they go in and they fall on their faces before Him. And they worship Him. And then they give Him the gifts that they had brought. And they lay them there. And I thought this week, they came into the presence we know. And they fell down before Him. These are kings. These are men that are not, or astrologers. These are wise men that are probably not used to bowing down to people. Maybe they're not kings, but they are wise men. They're astrologers. They are fairly well off. They're probably not used to bowing down to a child. But they bow down to this child. But the thing I understand more this week than I ever have, it says, then they offered these three gifts. The gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. Think about this for just a minute. Maybe this is nothing new to you, but to me, I couldn't get this out of my head. They had traveled these thousands of miles prepared to give what they felt valuable. They came and they told the king, where is He at? Excuse me. We want to worship Him. They had traveled thousands of miles prepared to worship Him. And God said, Steve, how many times have you drove less than 6 miles to church and you've not been prepared to worship Me? You come just to hear. You come to get what you want to get. You come to get what you need to get. You come to share what you've got to share. But are you prepared to worship Me when you come? Is it about your Sunday school class? Is it about the sermon? Is it about the music? What's it about for you? This is what he's asking me this week. Because these men traveled thousands of miles with one intention, to worship the Christ. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for them. Every single week, I have the opportunity to worship God. And not just on Sundays, but every day. And I don't take the time or the effort to prepare myself to worship Him. And then, they had come all this distance with this gold, this frankincense, and myrrh. And there are symbols behind those, but I'm not going to get into that today. But they brought these. And these were gifts that were not just available to them, but were representative of what they're there for, to offer these to the King of the Jews. And I run this thought through my mind. What do you come to offer Him? And in my mind, my first thought is, I don't have much to offer God. I don't have the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh. I don't have a lot of talent. I don't have a lot of these things that I see other people have to offer Him. He doesn't care what I've got. He cares that I'm prepared ahead of time to offer Him everything that I feel valuable. Too many times I come thinking, well, I'll give him my study time, or I'll give him this opportunity or that opportunity, or that he doesn't want this or that. He wants everything you have. When I accepted Christ, when you accepted Christ, we laid it all on the altar. We offer our bodies, our whole lives as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our spiritual act of worship. Well, I gave him this, or I gave him that. These men traveled thousands of miles and gave him everything they thought valuable. Now, they probably had to save a little bit to get back on. That's my excuse. You know, God, if I give you everything, I can't go ahead and do the things that I'm supposed to do. Yes, you can. Because He's going to supply everything you need according to His riches and glory. These wise men offered everything. So if we look at these groups of people, and we're going to count the king as a group, because I'm sure he had a lot of people there that were the same as him. And what they did that day or during this time frame, man, some came to worship. Some just ignored him. He was just a part of religion. And then the others fell somewhere in between. And you know, as I thought about that this week, the same thing's still going on today. And there are some of you that are out there that are coming to worship Him every day. You've traveled, you've given, you've prepared, you do everything He's asked you to do. Everything these wise men did, you do that. And because of that, you've been blessed. But then there are some that I can remember when I was this way. It was all religion to me, and I ignored who Jesus really was. I knew all the things I needed to know. Just like these scribes and Pharisees. They had all the information. But they ignored who Jesus really was. He was just somebody that they went to church to see on Sundays or talk about on Sundays. He was just somebody that had affected their past. Their family in the past. But He didn't mean enough to them to change who they were and alter their lives. Then there are those people that just fit in between. Maybe they're just pretending. They know. Maybe they just pretend. But they don't want to, like the king, they don't want to give up the power that they have in their life. Now, they may not be a king of some country, but man, I've got power in my life, and if I surrender to Christ, then I've got to give up that power. So, every one of us here in this room, and hopefully we're in that group with the wise men, but I got to be honest with you, there's times that I'm not. But we fall in between that. We're ignoring Him, or we're worshiping Him, or somewhere in between. Now as we look at those, and we think about the fact of what Jesus did when He left heaven and came to earth because He loved us. And He came as this little child, 100% God and 100% man. And He comes into this place, and He's there when these people come to visit. And then after this takes place, it doesn't tell us. It says they went back to their country in another way. Never says anything about whether the scribes and the Pharisees went to see Jesus later. It never says whether the king tried to see Him. Probably didn't, because he had every baby under 2 years old in that region killed. So once the scene was over, what happened? What took place? That king was as lost as he was the day that he heard about Jesus, because he ignored Him. He pretended to want to worship Him. There's people there. There are people that it's just religion. But man, today I want us to talk about those that have accepted Christ. Because this season we talk about the birth of Christ, and we celebrate and we want to share. But I want you to think of the opportunities you have like these wise men. You have an opportunity for what you know to move you to be closer to God. It's not going to be easy. It wasn't easy for these men. They left everything. They traveled across deserts. They traveled everywhere. They left everything at home and for the desire to be closer to Jesus. And we have that opportunity every single day. And we don't have to leave our home. We have the opportunity to, like those wise men, step into a group of people that know nothing about Jesus and say, "Where is He? He's already been born. He's alive." We have the opportunity to live like Jesus is alive. Think about that. The difference that it made. The difference that it could have made. It's not up to these men. What happened to that king? What happened to those scribes and those chief priests? Their point was to come and say, "Hey, we know He's alive, and we've come to worship Him." That's our responsibility. Now, if we walk into a room with the king and scribes and chief priests and say, "Hey, Jesus is alive," whether they accept it or not, that's not up to me. What's up to me is to live like He's alive. Allow Him to move me from where I am to where He wants me to be closer to Him than I was before, to talk to people like He's alive. Well, I talk to Him about church. Well, we appreciate that, but it's not about church. Well, I talk to Him in religious conversations. Well, that's great, but it's not about religion. It's about Jesus. We need to talk to them about Jesus. Where is He? Hopefully they can see that He's in us. But then that wasn't even enough. They wanted to go beyond just talking about Jesus. They wanted to go to the point of saying, "I want to be in His presence. I want to experience worship with Jesus." That's where we're at. That's where we need to be. That's an opportunity we have every single day to worship Jesus, to draw nearer to Him. We offer Him our lives to use us like these men. It says at the end, after they offered everything they had, the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh, being warned in a dream, and they did everything God told them to do. They followed, they got closer, they spoke, they sought out Jesus, they worshiped Jesus, and they were blessed because God took care of them. They could have very easily went back to Herod. They could have very easily went back to him, and he would have said, "Where's he at?" And if they'd, after experiencing Jesus, they would have known, and they wouldn't have wanted to tell him, and so what would have happened? It wouldn't have been good. But God protected them. God blessed them and sent them home by warning them in a dream another way. But they went back to their country. And a lot of times people just think, "Oh, that's just tagged on at the end. They departed to their own country by another way." They went another way, but they went another way. They went a different direction, but they went home changed from what they were when they came. They went home another way. But they went home. And you think, after traveling thousands of miles, coming back without the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, after spending time face down before Jesus, having God speak to you in a dream, and you travel those thousands of miles back home, you think the people you meet are going to ask you, "Well, how'd it go?" Well, let me tell you what happened. And they were able to take what happened to them, what happened to the world, and take it back home. Well, that's uncomfortable. Because that means when I come to church, prepared to worship, ready to offer Him everything I have, that I'll be blessed, but I can't just stay here. I've got to take it and leave this place a different way. So many times I'd come to church, from the times that I was growing up, I come to church, and if you'd have took a spiritual picture of me coming in, and you took a spiritual picture of me going out, I left the same way. Because I didn't come prepared to worship. Because I didn't come prepared to offer. But these men left a different way. And God expects us, when we come into His presence on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, a Wednesday night, a Thursday night, a Wednesday morning, I don't care. Whenever you spend time with God, whenever you stop to worship Him, go there prepared to worship. Go there prepared to offer. And when you do, you'll walk away different. You will leave a different way. And you will take with you the change, the difference. I no longer have all that baggage of the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. I now have a relationship with Jesus. I've now experienced what it means to be in the presence of Jesus. I can offer and get rid of all that other stuff that I thought was important. And I lay it at Jesus' feet. And He blesses me and sends me home. Says, take it with you. Share it with those people at home. Those people that you know. Those people that you work with. Those people that you love. Those people that you care about. Whatever they do with it is not up to you. But if you don't take it, what's their chances? And so as we close this morning, we've talked about the wise men, the king, the scribes, the chief priests. But I want it to be about Jesus. When they come to that place, they experience Jesus. It's the whole point of going. We need to make sure that every time we go to Jesus, it's on purpose. We talked last week about the interruptions that sometimes God puts in our life. But man, it's going to see Him intentionally. It's going to change my life. That's going to change your life. And you're going to leave a different way. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank You for all You do. Lord, I know that as we come into this place, we all need to be changed. We all need to be brought to You, to Your presence. God, I thank You for loving us. I thank You for giving us that opportunity. Lord, I just lift up to You this time right now that we would offer and that we would worship. Thank You so much for loving us. In Your name I pray. Amen.